Becker on Darren Donick and Chase on this Tuesday morning, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We always enjoy our chats with our next guest, Peter Burns, SEC Network. He does it all, and he now joins us. Peter, good morning. How you doing?
You know what? I'm doing better than I was a couple days ago. The fact that we just finished our three-hour live show, which we haven't done live shows for SiriusXM SEC Radio in a while, and I feel like we're getting some still momentum of practice reports coming in. Like, I'm in a much better mental state today than I was maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago when we were all hell was breaking loose in college football, boys.
I know. You're right. I mean, I think that's fair to say for all of us. I mean, we should be in a better place because, just like we've learned through this 6 months, I mean, everything is fluid, and it seems like it can change on a dime, or at least day to day or week to week. And you're right. It looked pretty dark and gloomy about a week and a half ago, and now, you know, I got to be honest. I know they're going to try. I don't know how it's going to play out, but it certainly looks like, you know, there's going to be three Power Five conferences that are definitely going to give it a go. We'll see how it goes, but they're definitely going to give it a go. And I wasn't sure I would have thought that a week and a half, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, you know, and I at least thought that the SEC was always going to be the one that would be patient and probably take the most amount of time to make a decision. And listen, we may all get to the same destination or no one's playing in college football. But I think, you know, the more we're around this and the more people are understanding of this, not only here in the SEC footprint or in the United States, but just across the world, is that, all right, this is not something that's going away. You know, this is something that could affect us in late November and February and next year, right? So if that's going to be the case, are you going to be shutting down college athletics and all these other sports for not just this upcoming season or a finite amount of time? You're indefinitely suspending these college sports. So, you know, I'm glad that these conferences have taken a little bit more patience and said, hey, listen, we have put together protocols in which we feel are safe. The players feel they're safe. And if they don't, they can go ahead and opt out 100%, no worries. They keep their scholarship. All the parameters now are in place to have a season. We just need everybody else to kind of do their part and hopefully keep the numbers down, which have been dropping, and that's a great sign for college football here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, and you know, Peter, it looked like, oh, no, this false positive in the NFL, because we know the NFL, same, it doesn't have a bubble, and you do wonder. Major League Baseball has certainly had their stumbles and stoppages trying to get their season in, at least with some teams. And, you know, they come back that there were false positives, and the NFL's come out and said, you know, hey, we're testing, look at all of our daily testing, and right now, so far, it looks really good. In fact, I was pleasantly surprised by the data of, like, how it came back of, okay, is this thing, you know, that's the best news we've heard on that front in a non-bubble situation in a good while. NHL and NBA is working, so maybe college football can even feel a little bit better from kind of the news coming out of the NFL camps.
Well, and build it upon even Major League Baseball. Of course, Major League Baseball have had their issues, but they're halfway through the season, right? And someone was going to have to be first. And I look at Major League Baseball not having a bubble and going, listen, hey, this may happen, right? You may have scheduling snafus where, hey, a couple of teams or a couple of players do test positive and they do capture this, but are they going to be okay afterwards? And can you continue to resume play? And if Major League Baseball can resume their resumption of play with as many players as they have, and they're playing games every day, and of course, you know, like Cardinals are playing like 9 different doubleheaders, I think, to get their season in. If they could do this, can college football do that by being played once a week? They feel like it is safe. And then you look at the other side of the paradigm, guys. The Big Ten announced today that some of the schools are going to have intramural football. So think about this. Like, the Ohio State University is going to have intramural football, but Justin Fields is not going to be allowed to play organized football on Saturday despite the tens of million dollars that they were spending on testing and keeping these kids safe. It's just, it's baffling to me.
That doesn't make any sense.
That makes no sense at all. None. Do you think, you know, there's so much pressure now. These guys, these coaches get paid really well, as we know. There's so much money at stake, and that creates turnover. I mean, it's inevitable with these coaches. If you don't win at a certain clip, especially in the SEC, man, there's a lot of pressure to win, and sometimes it's unrealistic, the pressure that's applied to some of these coaches, but they get paid well, and that comes with a gig. Do you think everybody just gets a pass this year? How do you think that's going to play out? Let's say we have the 10-game season, and, you know, some teams fail miserably at this, Peter, for whatever reason. Do you think everybody, or, and the other two conferences too, what do you think? Do coaches, will they get the ultimate free pass, the mulligan on this season, or do you think we'll still have those discussions at the end of the year?
I think we'll have those discussions, but I would be absolutely shocked that the 14 coaches we have here in the SEC aren't the 14 coaches that we have next year at the start of media days. I truly believe it. I think for a bevy of different reasons. I think for, you know, let's take Vanderbilt, right? I mean, Derek Mason's one of those names. Well, Muschamp, again, at South Carolina are one of those names. And you got to think about, let's talk about Vanderbilt as you guys are in Nashville. It's not as if Vanderbilt, you know, lately has said, hey, let's just spend a boatload of money in athletics, right? So if that's the case, the writing on the wall is, are they going to be apt to say, well, let's go ahead and have a buyout. Let's go spend more money. And what are we going to do? We're going to invest in finding a new coach. I mean, I know Derek Mason loves Vanderbilt. I know he's a great leader. Now he needs to lead them to more wins. But I think that the athletic department there, I would be shocked if Candace Story Lee looks at that and goes, no matter what the season is, you know, we're getting rid of Derek Mason. I don't see that happening. I don't see that happening with Ray Tanner out in South Carolina, regardless of what happens. So, again, I think we're also understanding, too, priorities of what's important. And winning games is important. I get it. But are you going to be willing to spend millions of dollars in the middle of a pandemic to tell a coach just not to work? I don't see that happening at all.
Talking to Peter Barnes from ESPN. Peter, I saw, and I've seen him do this a couple of times, Nick Saban give the impassioned, the reasons that he believes it's good for the players to try to play. We all know that it's hard to tell what's coming up around the corner. This thing could take a turn, but I admire the effort to keep trying to get out there, because there is a benefit to try to weave our way through this because of the value you get with the team, the exercise, all of the camaraderie, and the things that, you know, some people kind of get skeptical of these days because we think it's all about the money and how many guys go pro and it's about winning championships. All of that is great, and that's part of the equation. But Nick Saban, I think, is emphasizing something that is true, and it probably is under-discussed.
Well, I mean, Nick Saban's talking about the idea of these players, they need it, right? It's not only for their future and their future development, but also I look, guys, at the bigger, the mental aspect of it, okay? I mean, I don't know if you guys know this, and I haven't really made it public, and I just went out with yesterday. Yesterday, I put to rest my little brother, and he passed away during the middle of this. And part of that was because, you know, of a feel of a desperation of we don't know what's next. And that had eaten at him. And I look at that, and that's from a fan base standpoint as well, too. You know, I mean, about how many people right now, we need something. Collectively in sports, we've always, as a sports fan, we're always looking at a calendar, right, where it's like football season's here. Okay, baseball season's here, or you've got this, or these playoffs are happening. And now with this sense of uncertainty, we need something. We need something that's certain in an uncertain world. So I don't think it's just players' mental aspect. I think it's the coaches' mental aspect. And I think it's the fans as well, too. You know, we had a bunch of people over at this weekend around the family, supporting our family. And, you know, the one thing that we talked about that kind of kept everybody light, hey, how's LSU football going to look? You know, we're all from Louisiana. You know, and so these conversations that we could have right now are so much of a fabric of the part of the SEC life that to be supersedes, I don't care who makes money off of this, having that in my life is extremely important, and I think is extremely important for collectively the whole country as well.
Boy, that's well said, and it's so hard. You know, we discuss it every day on the show, how tough these decisions are at the top of what is best to do. But, Peter, you said it really well. I mean, we do need to live, right? And these are the things we absolutely love and are passionate about.
you got to do it the right way as well, too, right? And again, if it was one of those situations where, hey, listen, they're kidnapping kids off the street and saying, you're playing because we got to make millions of dollars, yeah, I think we'd all be like, what the hell is going on? But at this point, do we feel like these universities that are still going to play, do we feel like they're putting it, they're making it safe for the kids? So far, the testing has proven that. All right, do the kids want to play? Hell, the Big Ten kids are petitioning, trying to sue the Big Ten into letting them play, right? And if there was, the NCAA allowed a waiver, I guarantee you probably 85% plus kids would sign a waiver. And if they don't, they can opt out and keep their scholarships. So, again, it's just a matter of how can you make the best choices without the fear factor of PR. And we let the PR really kind of, you know, everybody's kind of running to the exits early. At least these conferences are saying, listen, there's a whole lot more in play than dollars and cents. It's a matter of can we do it safe? The public needs this. The schools need this. The kids need this. Let's take our time and exhaust every opportunity to play rather than just taking the ball and going home.
Peter Burns of the SEC Network is with us on Darren Donick and Chase. And so looking at the actual football schedule, the SEC schedule, I'm excited, just like a lot of people, to see if they're able to complete it, an all-SEC schedule. But we always know that, you know, it's a gauntlet in college football, even with a regular schedule. Do you think that it's still Alabama, that they're still even though LSU's the defending champions, we know they've lost a lot, with the way the schedule falls for Alabama, is it still their conference and championship, however that turns out, to lose?
I don't necessarily buy that. I think that we've gotten into the idea of Bama is just Bama because that's what Saban has built, and there's no idea, you know, there hasn't been this fallout of a, you know, oh my goodness, now they go 7-5 or something like that. But I mean, there was a change, right? And I mean, I think one of the things that people aren't looking into is the fact of, like, LSU did not lose their offensive coordinator. Yes, they lost Joe Burrow, and everyone talks about Joe Brady, the passing game coordinator, but you get a kid named Miles Brennan who's been there, it seems like hell, like his 11th year of eligibility that he's been waiting for this moment, that he's coming back. He's excited about this offense, and the fact that LSU was able to draw Vandy in Missouri, I think makes that a little bit of a more interesting race in the SEC West. And then you combine that with Florida and Georgia, I think, going neck and neck in the East. I mean, even before this pandemic, guys, I thought this was going to be as wide open as the SEC had been arguably in 30 years. And now the fact that it's all SEC versus SEC, good on good, I mean, holy hell, buckle up. I mean, you may have an 8-2 team that wins the conference, and that still might be good enough to be in the college football playoff because the best football is played in this conference.
Obviously, around here, you know, Vanderbilt's in Nashville, but so many Tennessee fans, it being so close to here, Knoxville being not that far away. And I can remember after 3 weeks last year, we're sitting there talking, is Jeremy Pruitt going to make it to the end of the season, or is he going to get fired? They turned things around. Now, all of a sudden, the conversation becomes, okay, they got something to build upon. What is realistic? With an all-SEC schedule, one, what is realistic for Tennessee? And two, would you equate like an 8-win season to being a 6-win season with this all-SEC schedule? And would that be good enough for Tennessee?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think it's about, I mean, first of all, free Cade Mays. How the fact that Cade Mays is not eligible is the biggest joke, and don't even get me started about that. We can go another 30 minutes on that. But, the second longest winning streak in the country right now with the Vols. And I do think of it, yeah, this could be a season that, hey, if you want to act like you're there, you win 7 games. You want to talk? I mean, I don't think Jeremy Pruitt's into knowing Pruitt. He ain't a rah-rah, you know, hey, we got a ribbon for participating. He wants to compete, and he thinks that they could potentially win 7 games in this season. And you need to show that right off the bat. I mean, you guys know how recruiting works. You either walk the walk or you get left behind. And so I guess it would be okay if you just won 6, but show me 7 wins at least. Show me 8 wins. I mean, shock some people this year. You need to have that win against Florida or Georgia to make people say, you know what, Rocky Top's going to be great again. And I think he'll build it on a more solid foundation than Butch had it. Butch could talk the talk. I just think that it wasn't the right guys that were fit for his program. I think Pruitt's building it from the inside out, and that's one of the reasons why I would like to see Cade Mays become eligible. I'd like to see Trey Smith be able to play on that offensive line, which I think could do some great things this season.
Peter, before my last question, I do want to say sorry for your loss and appreciate you joining us today. You certainly did not have to do that, but it's always good to have you on.
That.
Yeah. Of the team, you just brought up Tennessee and shocking people. So of all the teams in the SEC that you would put in the category of, all right, they're probably not picked to do a whole lot, and I'm not saying Tennessee's one of those. Who could shock us, though? Is it Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss in his first year? What team do you think could have the biggest shock factor to the conference?
Well, I say two things. One, Tennessee, I think, could be one of those teams. But the other two teams I look at for different reasons is one, Kentucky. I think Kentucky, I mean, the idea that they're going to only win 4.5 games, I think that's a new over and under that Vegas puts on them, I think is laughable. And if I'm Mark Stoops, I'm pissed off because I take that blue-collar mentality that he's been recruiting well on with Eddie Grant, and now they get Terry Wilson, and they might get Joey Gatewood become eligible. I think that they have maybe one of the best offensive lines outside of maybe Alabama right now in the SEC and one of the top five in the country. I think Kentucky is that team that's going to be good. Also, offensively, I know defensively they're going to be an absolute dumpster fire, but offensively, I think Arkansas is going to be fun to watch. Trey Burks, Trey Knox, you've got Rakeem Boyd, you got Felipe Franks. So, I mean, you know, if Sam Pittman and Kendall Briles, who's his new offensive coordinator, I don't know how many games they win, but I think that team that offensively, just like Lane Kiffin and just like Mike Leach, they're going to be fun to watch. Now, defensively, they don't have a shot right now because they just don't have the beef right now. But I think that's going to be kind of a fun team that we're going to go back and look and go, oh, okay, this looks a little bit what we thought Chad Morris was going to bring to Fayetteville.
Last thing real quick, go back on the Kentucky thing. I'll be the first to admit, I didn't see it from Stoops. I watched the first couple of years, and I'm like, I know he can recruit, but I just wasn't impressed with his in-game management as a coach. He's obviously gotten better every year. How has he been able to get that? I know because I grew up in Lexington. I know how difficult that job is in football. I get it. And there hasn't been a whole lot of winning over decades. How's he been able to get to this point where he's really feel like he's turned a corner and he's doing things we haven't seen a Kentucky coach do in a long time?
Because Stoops is a badass. And the reason why I say that is that when he first got to Lexington, I was the same way. I'm like, I don't know if I'm buying Stoops. And I think Stoops fell into the idea that, hey, to win in Lexington, you need to have this Tim Couch kind of gimmicky offense, right? Mm-hmm. And at some point, he was like, you know what? If I'm going to go out and I'm going to get fired, I'm going to do this my way. We're going to run the rock. I'm a Ohio kind of guy. I'm going to recruit that little Rust Belt area, and we're just going to beat the ever-living crap out of you in back alley brawl. And I think that's why they got Josh Allen. They got guys like Benny Snell. They've been able to recruit really well and have that mentality. And I think he's like, listen, we're going to run the ball. You know it. I know it. We're going to have a great offensive line. If you can stop it, great. No one could stop him last year with Lynn Bowden Jr. Like, you knew Lynn Bowden Jr. was not going to pass the ball at all, and yet he still ripped into teams. And so I think that's when he decided, hey, this is who I am. This is the style of ball. He was a lot more comfortable. And I think he, kind of like Dan Mullen at Mississippi State, he likes being pissed off. And I think that's what he was when everybody talks about, oh, Kentucky's not that good. They're going to be an issue this year.
Isn't that amazing? The Ohio border is just over an hour from that campus, and yet for whatever reason, most of the coaches they've had have always gone south. They've never thought about going north to recruit. I mean, it's just amazing. Yeah. You think about all the players that come out of that state, and he's done it well. Like you said, that's a great point by you. Hey, we're thinking about you and your family. Thanks for doing this. As always, continue to be safe, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Hey, thanks for giving me an outlet. Again, football is a distraction we all need, so that's 15 minutes. I don't have to stew on other things. So I appreciate you guys having me on. We'll talk to y'all soon.
Okay, thank you, Peter. Peter Burns, SEC Network. We do appreciate him joining us. We'll come back. We'll talk some college football on the other side of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.